One addition to our early dismissal list, adding an Avon District 276, also early dismissal today, 11:30, I believe, on that one as well. So along with Knoxville District 202 and Monmouth-Roseville District 238, of course, as we mentioned, Bushel Prairie City Schools, no classes. That's due to illness, though, that all the way through Tuesday. Good morning. It is 8:12, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher, thanks for being with us here this morning. As we've been talking with our local superintendents, second half of the school year underway. We'll talk a little bit about the first half highlights and things coming up in the second half as well. And joining us this morning, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent Dr. John Asplund. John, good morning. How are you today?
I'm great.
Thanks for coming in with us. I know you had a busy night last night. Another, I guess, informational session where people that live in the district were able to come and ask some questions about, I guess, everything from construction to classrooms and safety and all kind of things. So it sounded like a pretty good turnout.
Yeah, really, it was the best turnout of this would have been. If you consider all our community meetings, this would have been the 22nd one. And this was the best turnout of all of them. So, yeah, we had, I think, by my rough count, about 45 people there.
That's good. And some questions. And anything that did anybody stump you? Was there something that you had not thought of, a question that came up?
No, I mean, there wasn't really anything that we hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's certainly still some things we don't have definitive answers to. And when those questions came up, you know, we would just say we don't have an answer to that yet. But, you know, things all happen in time.
A lot of talk about the Hegg Auditorium at the high school. Yeah, probably does need some renovations. It's been there as long as the school's been there. But, you know, you're talking to do that, you're adding enough to the project that you would have to raise property taxes to do what would actually need to be done and what people think need to be done.
Yeah, well, if you just took the auditorium as it stands right now, and it has 2,400 seats, and if you wanted to renovate it to a modern facility that had proper acoustics and didn't have you know, some of the issues that it has now, and replace the seats that were when the auditorium was built, they got those seats from a theater in Chicago, so they were used in 1959.
Wow.
I really don't even know how old they are. But they look like they come from Miami. Like, coral and teal is an interesting color choice.
Yeah.
But I guess when they're filled, you don't have to see them. But, if we tried to renovate that structure completely as is, you know, it would be probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $11 million just to renovate that building. And that would include air conditioning as well. But so that's a pain point for our renovation. We very much want to update that facility, but what we're kind of left with is we have about $35 million to spend on that whole 7-12 project, and you know, we want to make sure we put most of our dollars in places where kids are most of the time, and you know, kids aren't in that space most of the time. And so, you know, there were some folks there last night that expressed some, you know, concern that if we need to have graduation in there, and, you know, I understand that's the tradition, but, you know, if we did downsize the auditorium, and that's an if, you know, we would probably move it to either the football field or the gym. I mean, that's a pretty common occurrence in lots of schools.
Yeah, and especially bigger districts like District 205 and larger that...
Yeah, typically really
most
large
don't have an auditorium
districts
that
would
can
have
fit the crowd, and we barely have a
right,
size
yeah.
to fit the crowd.
Most large schools, and I've been to a lot of them, most large schools are either in the gym or on the football field.
Yeah, yeah, and in most cases, the gym is the backup.
Right. You go outside, and if it's raining, then you just go in the gym.
Right, right. Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Well, let's talk a little bit about the first half of the school year heading into the holidays and some of the highlights from that time. I know you're busy with all the building things and all that, but what about some of the other things going on in the district?
Well, yeah, obviously the facility changes has dominated our discussion, but there's still a lot of teaching and learning going on and students performing, and you know, a lot of the highlights are really just going through the buildings each day and seeing what kids are doing. And you know, we've obviously this year, you've had people on here with this, you know, our instructional coaches started this year, and that's been an exciting change for us. And they're really doing a fantastic job like we thought they would. And, you know, seeing the impact that they've had in day-to-day classrooms and student learning is really exciting to us. And, you know, the fine arts programs continue to do fantastically well, and our Our marching band is just keeps getting better and better, and you know, that was a big highlight to me to see their success this year. And you know, we haven't had any snow days yet. That's a big highlight for me. I think last January we had school 9 days, so that's been a nice change. Although, so anybody listening out there right now, Galesburg has not
on the list for today.
Early,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No early dismissal.
Right, and I reserve the right to change my mind, but at this time I don't believe we will be getting out early, but that could always change. You know, there have been, even though if you go to King Elementary or Lombard or you go to Steele Elementary and there's active construction sites there, our teachers do such a great job of either using the construction sites and giving kids a chance to look at it and talk about how to incorporate that into their lessons, or you know, doing a good job of engaging our kids so that they're not looking out the window and looking at these active construction sites. That's a really impressive thing that our teachers are able to do every day. And you know, obviously it's exciting for our kids and they have a lot of questions. And you know, it's going to be a memorable time for our folks when they look back. They'll be like, oh, I was there when they did that. And you know, that'll be a great thing that I don't know if people really appreciate right now. And, you know, really, I think just the fact that life has gone on largely normally for most people, even though it's anything but normal.
Dr. John Asplund, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Well, here we are in the new year, 2020, believe it or not, and the heading, well, not going to be long before we're heading toward the end of the school year now. So how about some things that you're looking forward to here in the second half of the school year?
Well, take my comments from the first semester and always looking forward to seeing what's going on in the classroom second semester. But things we always look forward to are, one, the weather getting better and being able to get outside and see the outside activities. And, you know, we look forward to a lot of success in our athletic opportunities this spring. We should have poor Jeremy. I'm going to jinx him right now. We should have a really good baseball team.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to that. And our softball team is still going to be very good, even though we lost a lot of talent from last year. I feel really good about that. New coach, and that'll be interesting to see how that goes. You know, I the musical is always fantastic, so we're looking forward to seeing that at the high school. And other than that, I think it's really, once again, looking forward to every day to see what's going on in each classroom and seeing once more how these changes that we made with instructional coaches or curriculum changes, and we're piloting math programs and science programs, and seeing how those are being implemented and going through the buildings and seeing how they're done at kindergarten level and at the high school level and all things in between. That's always fun for me.
Well, I know many more districts are going to the instructional coaches. Was it Jeff Witsit? Was it United?
Yeah, United's got them.
They've got them now, mm-hmm. and some others that are going to be implementing it. So it sounds like a really good thing.
Yeah, I'll give Jeff credit. I think he was the first one around here to get them. So, I mean, I think this is their second year of having them. And, you know, that it is a movement that I think is necessary. We have for a long time just thrown educators into the classroom and go, okay, go teach. And everybody needs an outside opinion every once in a while, somebody to come in and help them and look at what they're doing. And it isn't just the teachers that have coaches this year. So I felt so strongly about it here in our district that all the administrators got coaches too, me included. And so we felt like if it's, you know, the good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So yeah, we wanted to make sure everybody had an opportunity to have them. And it's been really good for our administrative team too, to have people from the outside ask questions and get people thinking about their practice and what they do every day and how that incorporates into the whole district structure. And you know, I look forward to continuing that, you know, in future years as well.
So in your case, it's not somebody standing behind you, come on, push through the pain, come on, you can do it.
Five more.
No. Okay. So yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah, no, for me, and I, having been a superintendent as long as I have, I obviously know a lot of retired people at this point because they used to be superintendents like me. And so one of the superintendents that I greatly, greatly respect and have gone, I went through graduate school with, is Scott Cuffell, who was the superintendent at Geneseo for many years.
And played basketball against him.
Yeah, you would have, yeah. Yep. And Scott had the interesting story of having malaria because he went to Africa in high school and passed out in the gym, and I remember
Which is why my senior year we actually wanted a game because he was not there at point guard, so I didn't have to play directly against him that game.
Yeah, yeah. Scott was a heck of a basketball player.
Got to be a teammate with him, too, in a summer league game.
Really?
Summer league, that fall, and the year after we both graduated. Yeah,
it's funny being I'm a little bit younger than Tom. Not a lot, but I'm a little bit younger than Tom. I remember seeing Tom play in high school. And but two of the best high school basketball players I ever saw in my life were Bart Arthur and Scott Cuffell.
Yeah.
And they both ended up being superintendents, and yeah. You know, obviously they're great guys too. But Scott is just a leader in his field and does a fantastic job and has really helped our administrative team. And he's so much a streak now that he's gotten some Silver Streak sweatshirts,
really?
And stocking hats. And yeah, he
nice.
Yeah,
because I remember the last time I actually had a conversation with this when my kids were still in school. So it's been, you know, at least 6 or 7 years ago at a track meet that Geneseo was here, and he was in his green then, because I think he had a daughter that was running that day or
son.
Something.
Oh,
it was a son. Okay, yeah, that was running that day, so I got a chance to chat with him a little bit. Dr. John Aspen, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us here this morning. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the meeting last night. I know some of the concerns. Of course, you're going to have the what are they? Are the classroom the pod, are they called pods or what?
Yeah,
or,
I mean they're mobile classrooms. If you're thinking about mobile classrooms, they're not typically what you think about.
Right.
So these units are enormous. So when they come to the school, which would be sometime in March or April, and we start putting them together, these pods, each building has 10 classrooms in it.
Oh, wow.
And bathrooms and offices and copy rooms. I mean, they're very large.
Well, I was going to say, from pictures I've seen, you walk in, you don't realize this is a mobile or portable building.
Right, no. I mean, and it'll have air conditioning. I mean, it'll be climate controlled. I mean, they're really pretty nice. So, you know, the teachers that are in those next year, I believe, will be pretty happy about those. Now, the teachers that are in Gale and Rose Hoban Welch, yeah, you know, they might wish they were in one of the mobile classrooms. I'm not going to lie that those still aren't going to be climate controlled for the most part. But, yeah, these mobile classrooms actually will be pretty nice places for our kids and teachers to be.
So one of the things normally, especially junior high and high school, you've got access to your lockers, and that obviously will not be the case.
Right.
So you'll have to be carrying a backpack.
Backpacks and coats we'll have to carry the day.
Yeah.
And at the high school, when you only have four blocks, it's not like there's a lot of transitions. But during those transition times, when you have to go outside, there will be you know, times where kids will need to have those things with them, absolutely. And, yeah, we just can't. There's no feasible way to have lockers, so it's just not going to happen, and it's going to be an inconvenience for people for a year, but it's just kind of a necessary evil at this point.
Anything else on the construction side or the infrastructure side we need to know about, or any changes?
Well, you know, there are going to be changes just because as facts change, we reserve the right to change our mind, and we're continually looking for extra funding from the state if we can find it. I've been fortunate in that Senator Chuck Weaver asked me to basically represent him on the Illinois Capital Development Task Force for School Construction. So I've been going to those meetings down in Springfield, and there is going to be some sort of grant program that schools can apply for to get funding for school projects. The problem for us would be the timing of that, because if the program doesn't really roll out for 2 years, that would be a problem for us. We're still trying to basically go down two roads where we're looking at $35 million is what we have, but I'm continually trying to figure out a way that we could access this money if it becomes available. And you know, we don't talk about that a lot because I don't want to get people's hopes up, because it's still just, it's not really, I wouldn't even say a likelihood, but it's a possibility. So there could be changes as a result of that. There could be changes, as I said at the meeting last night. I don't know how many construction projects I've been in, a number of construction projects. I've never been in one where you didn't find something you didn't know was there. Mm-hmm. Like, why'd they bury that tank there? Right. I didn't know that was in the wall. What'd they do that for? And drawings are incomplete and things like that. So there's going to be something that happens that causes us to have to make some slight change for sure. We build in time contingencies and we build in financial contingencies, but those are just based on guesses. And so there absolutely will probably be changes that I can't even imagine what I'm telling you they are right now. So we're doing the best that we can. We wish we had more time to make a lot of really great decisions, but unfortunately we're on a somewhat of a time crunch with this project, because the district only had so many years to get this stuff done, because the health, life, safety process the district, because of all the other financial problems that the state had created, didn't turn its attention to this on the first year of the 10-year process. So we were already about 2 to 3 years behind the eight ball when we started. So we already started with a shortened timeline, and so we have to be very mindful of that the whole time as well.
There's going to be a time capsule, by the way, and there's going to be a lock of your hair in it.
If I had any hair. There,
you know, I just thought I'd ask. Yeah, no, you got something off your beard.
Yeah,
maybe?
There you go. Know. Nah, yeah, no. Time capsule? I don't know. Yeah. You know what? That would have been a question last night that would have stumped me. We've not talked about that. I don't know.
See, something to think about. There you have nothing else on your mind, nothing else to think about. Start thinking about a time capsule.
Okay.
One of the most important things in this entire project.
What would we put in a time capsule for 2020?
Wow. That's a tough one.
Angry internet people?
There you go.
Maybe just put
there
that,
you go.
I mean, that, would that
a screenshot of an angry Facebook conversation.
Right. Democrat versus Republican.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Political anger.
Put your donkey and your elephant in there.
Right.
And the battling. What else? I don't know.
An iPhone?
Yeah.
If you want to give one up.
Right. People not making eye contact anymore.
There you go. Yeah. Photos of people with their heads down. Yeah. There you go. Dr. John Aswin, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent, joining us this morning. John, always appreciate your time, and we'll get you in again soon. We'll keep talking construction as long as it's going on, right?
Yeah. And as always, I really appreciate the opportunity to come in, and we are fully aware that this is a momentous event in the life of our community, and you know, we're taking that responsibility very seriously, and having these Q&As, I think sometimes people can leave going, well, they don't have it all figured out yet. You know, I'm a little nervous. Like, well, I think that's disingenuous if we told you we did. I mean, I think we have to take all eventualities and try to plan for lots of different endings and be flexible and be nimble, because if you said this is what we're going to do and we're never deviating from it, as facts change, you really need to reserve the right to change your mind. So we're doing the best we can with the end result of having a great set of facilities for all our kids, all our staff, all our community, and we still feel very strongly that at the end of this, whenever that is, that people will realize that this was a really great process, and that we did the best we could in an open setting where people had opportunities to have input and ask questions. And no, not everybody's going to get what they want. You know, if we had more money, maybe we could, but we don't. So I still feel really good about the process, and I'm really thankful that our board has put in all the hundreds of hours of volunteer time that they do as well, because it really is a collaborative effort with hundreds of people and lots of input and lots of data points, and you know, it's tiring, and I'm sure when it's over, I'll be really thankful too, because it's a lot of sleepless nights for a lot of us.
And the bottom line, it's all about the best, safest learning environment for the kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as I've said, and I didn't say it last night, but I've said it in other groups, this district survived closing 11 buildings in 1982. We'll survive this. Yeah. And not only will we survive, we'll thrive. And it'll be a better result when we're done. It's just the pain of getting to that point.
Any other informational meetings on the schedule at this point?
Not at this time, but we are open to the fact that we may need to have some more.
Okay. And one specific about time capsules.
Yeah. We could have all sorts of suggestions.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Dr. John Aspel, Galesburg District 205 Superintendent. John, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.